ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिङ्ग् फ्रोम् केण्टो श्रीमद्भागवतम् केण्टो 10th चाप्टर् नम्बर् 3 टेक्स्ट् नम्बर् 52।
देवक्याः शयने न्यस्य वसुदेवोऽथ दारिकाम् प्रतिमुच्य पदोर्लोहम् आस्ते पूर्यववद् आवृतः।
Translation: Vasudev placed the female child on the bed of Devaki, bound his legs with the iron shackles, and thus remained there as before. No purport to this, so I'll go to the next verse. Text 53.
Yashodananda patni cha jatam param abhudyata natallingam parishranta nidraya pagata smritihi.
Translation: Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Yashoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Purport: Nand Maharaj and Vasudev were intimate friends, and so were their wives Yashoda and Devaki. Although their names were different, they were practically non-different personalities. The only difference is that Devaki was able to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been born to her and had now changed into Krishna, whereas Yashoda was not able to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Yashoda was such an advanced devotee that she never regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but simply loved him as her own child. Devaki, however, knew from the very beginning that although Krishna was her son, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, no one regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When something very wonderful happened because of Krishna's activities, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the coward men, the coward boys, Nand Maharaj, Yashoda, and the others, were surprised. But they never considered their son Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes they suggested that some great demigod had appeared there as Krishna. In such an exalted status of devotional service, a devotee forgets the position of Krishna and intensely loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead without understanding his position. This is called Kevala Bhakti and is distinct from the stages of Jnana and Jnanamayi Bhakti. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I beg the blessings of all the devotees. Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Yashoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Hare Krishna. So, Prabhupada explains in the purport that Mother Yashoda is not aware of who was born. You know, she was not aware whether it was a girl or a boy. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Yashoda is more advanced than Devaki because she was ignorant that she's ignorant of the opulences of Krishna. Like that. Yashoda was caring for Krishna in Vrindavan. Devaki, from the very beginning, she was aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Mother Yashoda, not only her, but all the Brajbasis of Vrindavan, they were not at all aware. They couldn't accept, they did not know, or rather, they were so overwhelmed with love for Krishna that they failed to see that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. So they were in a kind of an ignorance, which Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas explain is a very exalted state. And, you know, it's quite a paradox if we see that as a sadhaka advances from an ignorant state, you know, he aspires to get knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his progress begins from ignorance, and then he goes into knowledge, and then back into ignorance. So that is the exalted state, where you forget the Supreme Lord's omnipotence, and you just consider him as an ordinary child. And this is a very wonderful concept, where actually the Lord is very pleased by this kind of service. You know, where a devotee is not aware that the Lord is the Supreme Lord, and the devotee just serves Krishna just as if he is an ordinary boy, ordinary child, in a very casual way. They are serving Krishna, you know, without any rules and regulations of deity worship, which generally we see in temples being followed, where if we have to offer any bhoga to the Lord, you know, we follow the rules, we do achaman and we do all these different things, and then finally to offer the bhoga to the Lord. But we see that Mother Yashoda, when she is feeding Krishna, she never follows all these rules. Krishna is hungry, so she immediately breastfeeds him, or she makes some other arrangements for him to eat. So like that, she never follows the regulative principles of, you know, doing achaman and all that. It's never heard of in the Shastras. So the Lord likes this kind of a service from his devotees. And the Lord wants to be served in this way. And this is the highest level, where the devotee deals with the Lord in a very intimate way, in a very casual way. And that gives more pleasure to the Lord than all the rituals being followed by the pujaris and the, you know, the Brahmins who are doing the worship of the deity in the temple, or even in Vaikuntha. Higher than that is the service which is rendered by his devotees out of spontaneous love, out of casual dealings and intimate dealings with Krishna. So this is the highest stage of Krishna consciousness, which, you know, generally you find even amongst the people of this world, how they serve their near and dear ones. Father may serve the child, mother may serve the child, or you know, that in that way. So similarly, also in Vrindavan, the Brajbasis are serving in the mood of a parent, some in the mood of a friend, some in the mood of a lover, like that. Very casual. So casual that sometimes even the great gods are also bewildered, that how is it possible that the Lord is allowing such a thing? Because it's very rare to find such kind of love. And therefore even Brahma got bewildered by seeing that how the coward boys were dealing with Krishna in such an intimate way. They would climb on the shoulder of Krishna, they would wrestle with Krishna, they would crack jokes with Krishna. It's quite amazing. So Brahma also became bewildered. Because these are very simple dealings which we may even see in this world between, you know, family members. Like I was in the Vrindavan Yatra this time, and I was just observing, I was taking prasad, and I was just observing one family sitting in front of me. So there was a father and his son sitting there. Small boy. And the small child, he ate a pakoda. Yeah. And the pakoda was very hot, I think it was, very hot. So after putting it in his mouth, the child found it very intolerable. So he called his father, sir, father, it's too hot. And he started doing like this. So father looked at him, what happened? He says, it's too hot. He says, okay, open your mouth. So the son opened his mouth, and the father was blowing inside his mouth to cool the pakoda. And I looked at that, and I was thinking that certainly if this pleasure is available in the material world, sure that the devotees of the Lord may be doing that with Krishna also. And the same kind of dealings are there amongst the devotees of Krishna with Krishna. Mother Yashoda is feeding him in such an intimate way that even Brahma got bewildered, that how is it possible? How is it possible? It is quite uncommon, very rare, never seen. And that is the love of the devotees and the service rendered in Vrindavan. And therefore, the Braj Prem, the Braj style of serving Krishna is the highest. Like that. And therefore, here it is explained that Yashoda, a Brajbasi, her love for Krishna is greater than Devaki. Because she was not aware that Krishna is God. Whereas Devaki actually knew that her child was Krishna, God. Krishna was Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Yashoda, what does Yashoda mean? And he says that Yashoda means, it comes from two words, Yash, Da. Yash means fame, and Da means to give. Mother Yashoda, in another interpretation, it is explained that Mother Yashoda is called Mother Yashoda because she gave the fame of having given birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna to Devaki, when in fact Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna was born from Yashoda and not Devaki. Now, generally people may wonder, how is that? How can that be so? Because generally, we see that Mathura is celebrated as Krishna Janmabhumi, is it not? And hundreds and thousands of people are going there to take darshan of the Janmabhumi. And everybody accepts that Krishna was born in Mathura to Devaki. Then how is it that in the Vaishnava literature, it is explained that Krishna was born out of Yashoda? So this is quite confusing. So this is a secret. And it has not been revealed to the world, to the common man, for a very important reason. And it is important and to realize, and it may be worthwhile to go into the details, that how actually Krishna was born to Yashoda. And it is explained in Bhagavatam that when the Supreme Lord Narayan appeared to Devaki, he appeared in the four-handed form, is it not? We all know this, that he appeared in the four-handed form with jewels and curly hair, with ornamentations, and he revealed himself to Devaki and Vasudev, his four-handed form, and he revealed that he was Narayan, the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And then when Devaki and Vasudev offered their prayers to the Lord to conceal his identity, because they were afraid that Kamsa may come and harm him, harm the child. So please conceal yourself in such a way so that you will not be recognized. So at that time, Lord manifested the two-handed form of Krishna. So therefore, the Lord actually who appeared from Devaki, Acharyas explain, is actually Narayan, an expansion of Krishna. It was not Krishna directly. And there at the same time, Yashoda gave birth to twins. And the first child was actually Krishna, who was born without four hands. He was just born as Krishna, without any ornaments, just simple Brajbasi boy. And he was the original Krishna. And then the second child was Yogamaya, the younger sister of Krishna. Like that. Because the Bhagavatam explains that Yogamaya is considered to be or mentioned as being the sister of Krishna. Now how can she be the sister of Krishna if Krishna was born from Devaki? It's not possible. Is it not? So therefore they have to be born from the same mother. And therefore it is explained by the Acharyas that Krishna, the original Krishna, was born from Yashoda, and therefore Yogamaya has been mentioned to be the sister of Krishna, like that. So then Vasudeva was ordered by Krishna to take him to Vrindavan, which he did. Now the question may come that why couldn't, or how he couldn't see that there was already a Krishna there. Is it not? I mean, he was there. Krishna was already there. So the Acharya is explaining that the Yogamaya had actually covered Krishna, and therefore he could not see Krishna already there. And therefore when he placed the Narayan Krishna close to Yashoda, that time the two Krishnas merged. Narayan Krishna merged into the original Krishna, and then Yogamaya was brought to Mathura. Like that. So we see that this fact has been concealed from the common man. Why? There's a very good reason for that. Because if people knew that Krishna is actually the original son of Yashoda, that would mean that the other wives of Nanda Maharaj would be the cousin brothers of Krishna. Is it not? Some elder to him, some equal to him in age, and some younger to him. Is it not? And their wives would be, the wives of the cousin brothers who are elder to Krishna would be like his mothers. And those who are the wives of his contemporaries would be like his sisters. And those wives of his, of the coward boys who are younger to him would be his daughters. Is it not? So the Acharyas explain that when he performed his Ras Leela, he did dance with all the gopis of Vrindavan. And the world cannot accept amorous dealings with mother, sister and daughter. That was too much for them. Already Krishna, being accepted as a daughter, as a son of Devaki, dancing with other men's wives in the middle of the night was considered very hard to accept by even many of the Indians. So then what to speak of Krishna if he was understood to be son of Yashoda and he's dancing with, amorously with his mother, sister and daughter would be just a very unacceptable fact. It would be just too difficult for them to accept. And therefore this, because the Lord is performing, He's manifesting a pastime which is so high to understand for a common conditioned soul that he would just end up blaspheming. And therefore all these unnecessary details at the preliminary stage of bhakti has been eliminated or has been kept aside or a secret and only revealed to those who are on the level of Narada, like that. And therefore the Acharyas are explaining. So this is a very sweet thing, where the Lord is all powerful and he's maintaining a secret about his identity. It's a very sweet thing. And we can see that Bhagavatam is the origin of this concept. When I was young, I'm sure that all of you also I'm sure must have seen, there was a movie which I saw. It was Superman. you know, and I used to like that movie very much, somehow, Superman, where he's flying and he's helping the people and he's doing all these wonderful things. And nobody knows that he's Superman because he dresses himself up, disguises himself just like a common man. And the movie is very good, famous. Yeah. And then at the end, somebody realizes that he's Superman. But then somehow or another, he covers himself with his kind of potency. When I read Bhagavatam, I realized that this concept is there in the Bhagavatam. I mean, why do they put it in movies? Because it's attractive to the people. Is it not? And then I made a comparison, one-to-one comparison, that if you see how they have imitated, how they've taken the concepts from the Bhagavatam. They made Superman blue in color. You know, he wears a dress which is blue. Krishna is also blue. You know, Krishna hides his identity in Vrindavan. So, you know, he's also hiding his identity. And he's like helping people and he's doing all those wonderful things which no one knows. So like that. So this very sweet concept of Krishna trying to hide his superiority or his godhood, because it actually is an impediment to the service which is rendered by his devotees to him. Like that. And therefore, especially the love of the Brajabasis is very sweet and very exalted and cannot be compared with anything else. And therefore, the acharyas explain, out of all the holy places, Mathura is above even Vaikuntha. And in Mathura, Vrindavan is still higher. And in Vrindavan, Govardhan is still higher. And in Govardhan, the place of Radhakund is still higher. And similarly are the people who are living in such places. The devotees who are living in these places are also higher than the devotees found in other holy places. So therefore, this very important point has been mentioned here. And this concept is so bewildering even to great gods. It's not understood properly even by the gods. And therefore, Brahma also became bewildered. And therefore, the Bhagavatam explains, Ittham satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena maya shritanam naradarakena sakam vijharu krita punya punjaha. So, this verse has been explained in order to convince the readers that the coward boys and the Brajbasis who are, you know, having such casual dealings with Krishna are actually not ordinary souls. Sakam vijharu krita punya punjaha, that they have actually performed devotional service for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, to finally come to the stage of rendering pure devotional service to Krishna. And in fact, in the previous verses, the Supreme Lord Himself is mentioning to Devaki that she had performed tapasya for 12,000 celestial years before she could beget Krishna as her son. So then what to speak of Yashoda, what to speak of the Brajabasis who were on that level of taking Krishna very casually and dealing with Him very intimately. So like that, it is mentioned that these great devotees that we are reading about is on the highest rungs of devotional service. And the Lord likes it like that. In Ramayana, there is a very nice pastime which I came across. You know, after the war in Lanka when Ravan was killed, at that time, Lord Ram told Vibhishan that I want to get back to Ayodhya immediately, because he had a deadline. Because Bharat had said that I will commit suicide after 14 years if you do not return by then. And time was running out. And so Lord Ram told Vibhishan that not just I cannot just stay here. Vibhishan was requesting Lord Ram that you please stay here for some time. I have been coronated as a king. Give me an opportunity to serve you. So Lord Ram said, no, what to speak of staying here. In fact, you have to make an arrangement for me by which I can get back to Ayodhya as soon as possible, because there Bharat is waiting. And if I am late, he will commit suicide because he is so eager for me to return. And therefore, you make arrangements for me. And then Vibhishan arranges the Pushpak Viman, the aircraft, for Lord Ram and Jamvand and all the monkeys to come to Ayodhya. And it is explained that when all the monkeys accommodated in the Pushpak Viman and when they were going back, the monkeys requested Lord Ram when they reached Kishkinda from the air, they requested Lord Ram that, you know, we have come, we are coming, but we are feeling sad that we are leaving our wives behind. So can we also take her, take them with us so that we can all come and enjoy the Raj Abhishek of yours in Ayodhya? So Lord Ram conceded and he said, all right. So the aircraft landed and all the wives got in also. Can you imagine crores and crores of people boarding an aircraft? Quite inconceivable, but it happened. So all the wives got in and they were very inquisitive because they wanted to see Sita. They wanted to see who is this lady for whom our husbands have risked their lives to fight. And they have struggled so hard and a huge war was fought. Like that. So the monkeys became very eager. So they came forward to see, where is Sita? We want to see this. How beautiful and attractive she may be. And they came and saw Mother Sita and somebody looked at her eyes. Now monkeys generally have small eyes and Mother Sita, had, it's explained, has big lotus-like eyes. So when they looked at Mother Sita's eyes, they couldn't understand what kind of beauty is this. They're saying it's not very interesting. Her eyes are so big and large, it's not very interesting. Then they looked at her waist and her waist was very slender and slim. And they said, what is this? I mean, it's quite uninteresting. And then finally when they looked at Mother Sita had no tail, and they're saying, what is this? She doesn't have a tail. This is terrible. For her, they risked their lives. I mean, I can't understand why. So like that, the female monkeys, the wives of the warrior monkeys, they were like, you know, kind of in a very loving way, in a very intimate and a casual way, they were finding kind of faults with Mother Sita, but Lord Ram did not mind and said, you committed an offense, you know, get out from the aircraft and push them out of the aircraft. Not like that. Never happened like this. So we can see that in the level of pure devotional service, you know, all these things are accepted. Like that. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that when loving service is rendered to the Supreme Lord, it should be free from Aishwarya Gyan. It should be free from Karma Gyan and even Aishwarya Gyan. The Lord does not like when service is mixed with Aishwarya Gyan. And therefore, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that has been explained, the pastime of Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta, he was a doctor and he was, along with his devotional service, he was doing various other things. And Supreme Lord, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to make a very strong point, when Murari Gupta was honoring Prasad one day, little Nimai came in front of him and all of a sudden he passed urine into the plate of Prasad of Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was shocked at this outrageous activity. And Lord told Murari Gupta, but please do not mix karma, gyan and yoga with pure devotional service. It's like mixing urine with prasad. It's not compatible. So surrender pure devotional service. And that was the message which little Nimai gave to Murari Gupta. Yeah. So like that. So it is explained that in Vrindavan there's so much of opulence. It's more opulent than Vaikuntha. In fact, it is said that every dust particle of Vrindavan is more opulent than all the Vaikuntha planets put together. Chintamani Prakara Sadmashu Kalpa Vriksha. That is a place where every dust particle is actually Chintamani. Every stone is Chintamani. So it is explained that every dust particle of Vrindavan is more opulent than all the Vaikuntha planets put together. Then how is it that the Aishwarya or the opulence of Vrindavan is not visible? We don't read about the opulences. So it is explained that just like in a day when the sun is there brightly shining, the sun makes the stars disappear. Is it not? I mean, the stars are still there in the sky, but you cannot see the stars in the sky. Why? Because of the sun. So similarly, there's so much of love, prem, affection for the Supreme Lord that the Aishwarya Gyan is completely covered over and nothing of it is visible in Vrindavan. Because of the exuding and all-powerful love which is all prevalent in Vrindavan everywhere. And therefore that opulence is not visible. And therefore we can see that in Govardhan Leela, even though the Lord has clearly demonstrated that He was a Supreme Lord by lifting the Govardhan Hill. He lifted the Govardhan Hill for 7 days, 7 nights. On His left hand, little finger, all the Brajbasis saw this sight. And obviously common sense says that you have to assume that somebody is super, super extraordinary if somebody does a feat like this, like lifting a huge mountain. Huge mountain for not just for a day, but 7 days and 7 nights. And what happened after that Leela? Did they accept that that Krishna was Supreme Lord? No. In fact, it is explained that they just felt that He was some great God, empowered by the gods, something like that. And in fact, the only thing that happened after Govardhan Leela amongst the Vrajbasis was that the gopis got an opportunity to speak about Krishna openly. Because previously, they spoke about Krishna privately because it was not chaste for ladies to speak about some other man in an open assembly. But now because Krishna performed a pastime in front of all the Brajbasis, the gopis thought that now it's an open fact that Krishna has performed this wonderful act and He saved all the Brajbasis. So now the gopis started openly discussing about Krishna with all the Brajbasis. That was the only thing which happened after Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill. It's not that they are discussing how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Let us offer our obeisances to Him. And no, their love for Him just increased many, many fold. Like that. So we see that is how it is. So from ignorance to knowledge and back into ignorance. That is the highest stage. When you forget that Krishna is God. And they are the most blissful souls in the world. Like, you know, we say that in English, ignorance is bliss. It's actually a fact. In this case, it's actually a fact. Ignorance is bliss. If you don't know Krishna's God, that's bliss. But of course, you must have love for Krishna. Prabhupada was with some sannyasi disciples and he was wanting to make a point and he asked them all that, are you convinced? Are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And they all were looking at each other, not knowing what to say. You know, so on our level it is different because we may not have love for Krishna. Yeah. Therefore in the Bhagavatam it is explained, yascha mudhatamo loke yascha buddhe paramgataha tau bhav suke medete klishyati antarato jana. It is said that two people are really happy in this world. Yascha mudhatamo loke, a person who is extremely dull, he is completely has no intelligence. And yasche buddhe paramgataha, and another person who has transcended all material intelligence. Tvau ubhav sukham edete. These two people are the blissful people in the world. Klishyati antarito jana, and the people who are stuck in between, who are maybe the sadhakas, are the most miserable. Because they are neither here nor there. They are struggling. Yasche mudhatamo loke yasche buddhe paramgataha tvau ubhav sukham edete klishyati antarito jana. So that is our kind of, we can say, you know, at least for myself, that we are on the stage of sadhana, where we can only talk about these very high exalted states of consciousness, but really have not really much realizations on these things. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining, Sakala jagate more kare vidhi bhakti vraje bhav paite nahi shakti. He says, the whole world is worshipping me according to the rules and regulations of devotional service, of Pancharatrika Vidhi. But he says, such kind of worship makes love very feeble. Yeah? And it makes it very diluted. It's like that. And he says, Aishwarya Jnanete Sabha Jagat Mishrita Aishwarya Shithila Prem Nahi Mora Preet. And he says, that love which has been diluted by Aishwarya Jnan does not give me pleasure. He says, Aishwarya Shithila Prem Nahi Mora Preet. Yoga Dharma Pravartana Hoy Amsha Hoyte Amavina Anye Nare Braja Premedite. He says, that I have come, there is nobody else, no other incarnation, even my Amsha avatars cannot come and give what I can give. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I have come to give that Braj Prem, that spontaneous devotional service, the Ragatmika Bhakti, that devotional service which can be achieved by following in the footsteps of a great devotee who is in the mood of a Brajbasi. Raganuga, sadhana, Raganuga Bhakti. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that it is that love that I have come to give. No other, even my Amsha incarnations cannot give this kind of love. It will take only me, Krishna personally, to come and give this. So that is the method. And that is the mercy of the Lord that He has come. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give this Braj Prem, which we can see. Mother Yashoda's love, the gopis' love, the coward boy's love for Krishna. That love Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. And how can we access that love? How can we access that mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi suni chena tarorivas saishnuna Amani namani dena kirtaniya sadahare. That by humble devotional service, when we chant the holy names of the Lord with humility, at that time we can actually access the grace of the Lord. That is important. In the Upanishad it is explained, Nayam atma pravachinena labhyo na medhayana bahuna shrutena yame vaisya vrinute tena labhyastasseva yesham vrinute tanum syam. Tasyaishva atma vrunute tanum syam. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo namedhyana bahuna shrutena. That devotional service or love for Krishna cannot be acquired by hearing lectures or by giving lectures, not by reading, not by anything else. Devotional service or love for Krishna cannot be attained by all these things. But when the Lord is pleased upon a devotee, when He chooses, then the person can actually get love. Yame vaisya virunute tanum tena labhyas tasyaiva atma virunute tanum syam. So Lord has to personally choose and give. That is the time when a person gets it. So we can do everything necessary by following all the rules and regulations that we are doing of sadhana bhakti. Some may say, okay, if that is to serve Krishna without rules and regulations is the ultimate goal, then why do we need to follow the rules and regulations laid down by Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur by the Acharyas? So Srila Prabhupada explains that certainly that the Lord's grace cannot be achieved by our endeavors, but we need to please Him by our sincere efforts. And that's why these rules and regulations are there. Because we are mind and body and senses are contaminated right now, and therefore to purify it we need these Bhagavat Vidhi and we need the Pancharatrika Vidhi. The Pancharatrika Vidhi are the rules and regulations which we are following for worship of the deity, and the Bhagavat Vidhi, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. So both these are necessary. It's like the two tracks of a train. The train is moving, it needs two tracks to run on. If one track is removed, the train collapses. Similarly, in a conditioned state, till we reach that level, we need to follow these principles so that we can come up to that level of Raganuga Bhakti, of Ragatmika Bhakti, by following in the footsteps of a devotee who is having the mood of a Brajbasi. That is the process. And how we can do that? By following these principles, not with pride, but with humility. Because these practices in itself cannot give bhakti. And when we know this, then automatically we need to be humble, we have to be humble. Like that. Like, you know, in Ramayana, there's this episode which comes, you know, when Vibhishan, he leaves the side of Ravan and he comes to surrender to Lord Ram. At that time, Sugriva immediately he starts shouting and he says, and he raises the alarm and he says, caution, caution, this Rakshasa has come along with four other Rakshasas and they will come and probably they want to come and destroy us. So be careful, be aware, be alert. And Sugriva says he has come with the greatest of weapons. And the Acharyas explained what weapon did he come with. He came with no weapon, he only came with a mace. And he came with a folded hand. And the Acharyas are explaining that Sugriva was mentioning that he came with the greatest of weapon. He did not mean the weapon of the mace, but he was saying the weapon of the folded hand. Because Sugriva knew that with that weapon, he will conquer Lord Ram. Because anybody who comes with a folded hand to surrender to Lord Ram has to accept him. He cannot deny. And therefore, he will conquer Lord Ram. He will gain the trust of Lord Ram. And because he is a Rakshasa, he will deceive us. And he may leak out important secrets to Ravan. And ultimately, it may cause harm to Ram. And therefore, in that mood, Sugriva is saying, he's come with the greatest weapon. He's come with folded hands. That will not prevent Lord Ram from giving his mercy to him. And therefore, be careful. And that is the idea that humility conquers the Lord. And in fact, Acharya is explaining that when Vibhishan came, he came with four Rakshasas. What is the significance of those four Rakshasas? Why just four? Why not five? He's explaining. Four Rakshasas represents the Akinchanatvam and Ananya Ghatitvam Bhavna. The two Rakshasas represents the two legs. Two Rakshasas represents two hands. Like when we offer our obeisances, we keep our two legs together. And when we touch the ground with our hands, our two hands are cupped downwards. Two legs being together means like, you know, when you keep your legs together, you can't run, is it not? So it's like saying to the Lord that I have nowhere else to go. Ananya Gatitvam. I have come to you and I'm not going anywhere else. I've got nowhere else to go. Ananya Gatitvam. You are the final shelter. I've sought so many shelters, all were useless. Now you are the final shelter and I'm not going anywhere else. Ananya Gatitvam. So that those two Rakshasas are representing that. And another two Rakshasas are representing Akinchanatvam. When we offer our obeisances, like, you know, that's Akinchanatvam, which means that our two hands are cupped downwards. When our hands are downwards, which means that we have nothing in our hands. Is it not? Which means that I have nothing even to offer you for the shelter which you may give me. I have nothing. I have left my family, I have left my brother, I have left everything, I have left all my opulences, and I have come to surrender to you, Lord Ram. So please accept me. So that is the meaning behind it. And with this consciousness, the way Vibhishan took shelter of Lord Ram, if we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, while we chant his holy names, then we can get the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srila Prabhupada ke jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare.